Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the bullpen. All right, back in the bullpen is Dr. Lieberman. Doc, good day. Thank you for being on Indisputable.
Thank you for having me back.
Absolutely. We are going to chop it up about Afghanistan, maybe talk about Biden's pullout and the occupation, the military occupation that has lasted for 20 years. I don't want to presume what you know or believe about America or American involvement in Afghanistan. So if you would, give me your sentiment.
Okay. Well, after 9/11, there was a surge of patriotism in this country, which included people joining the military to fight for the country, to protect America. And that was, I think that was wonderful. That was heroic. And we were there for 20 years. Yes, it's unfortunate that it took that long, but this pullout has undone just about everything that those 20 years accomplished. I mean, except for the fact that it kept us free of terror attacks pretty much for 20 years. But it is just devastating, and especially to happen on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Essentially, you know, this was a photo op for Biden. He wanted to make it exactly on the 20th anniversary to say, look what I did, you know, for 9/11 and so on. Of course, he never did then speak, but it's just tragic. It's a travesty, and it has incredible ramifications.
Okay, let me take you back to 1971. 1971, there was an occupation in Afghanistan, the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. The United States of America decided to arm Afghan fighters, to train Afghan fighters in order to break the Soviet Union. But the reality is Afghan fighters, they've been fighting against regimes for over 100 years. This was just a latest one in 1971. Now, that started this relationship rooted in policy with Afghan fighters and those that supported them. When you talk about the pullout of Afghanistan, it was Donald J. Trump who pulled over 40,000 soldiers out of Afghanistan, left only 2,500, had a secret negotiation with the Taliban, even though they were considered terrorists. This president gave them legitimacy, pulled out those military soldiers, and allowed them to regain from a foothold to a stronghold in that region. Do you not agree?
Of course I don't agree. Why would we be debating if I agreed?
Well, that's a fact. The fact is Donald Trump pulled the troops out and gave de facto power to the Taliban and negotiated with them secretly, even though they were still considered a terrorist organization. It is no doubt they've killed many, many American soldiers, but you all had no problem with Donald Trump violating all protocols of the Department a Secretary of State and negotiating with terrorists.
Wait a minute. First of all, in 2017, Donald Trump made a speech about Afghanistan. And in this speech, he went on and on about how, yes, it would be ultimately a good idea to withdraw from Afghanistan, but he warned about a hasty pullout. This was in 2017. So Biden and all the people around him should have no more warned already from 2017 not to have a hasty pullout. This pullout was so badly done that one has to consider that it was purposely done so badly.
Okay. I don't disagree that Biden did this pullout in a way totally adversarial to what I would have liked to have seen. But you can't create a narrative that somehow Republicans have been good and Democrats have been bad. The truth is both of these sides have effed up as it relates to Afghanistan. That's the God honest truth. And Donald Trump did withdraw a significant number of soldiers, and he did meet and negotiate and allow negotiations with the Taliban and create secret deals with them, which ultimately restored them back to power. This issue of Afghanistan and Afghan fighters and the Taliban has been mishandled by presidents of both parties. Okay. But the issue, and let me say this, Doc, because I want you to respond.
Okay.
The issue I have with you all is that you're trying to trick folk or have convenient amnesia as if Republicans, even the latest one, Donald Trump, did not also create chaos through policy.
Well, I'm not gonna argue with you with that, but I will say to something, some earlier point that you made, if Donald Trump saw from the beginning of, you know, if he held to his date or whatever date he would ultimately have decided upon, if he saw from the first day that the Taliban was going, doing this surge and taking over the country, there is no way that he wouldn't have at that point have brought more troops in right away. He would not have let it happen the way it happened. And even if you want to just, I mean, I know you don't like Donald Trump, so even if you want to say it's because he's such an egomaniac and such a narcissist that he wouldn't want to have this happen on his watch, that he wouldn't want to be seen as the president who, you know, where this happened, like what just happened to Biden. But there is no way, and I'm not saying that I believe it that way, but I'm just saying even if you want to think of it that way, there is no way he would have let this happen the way it unrolled.
Yeah, well, I didn't know, Doc, that you were a prophetess as well. Because in order for me to believe what you just said, that means that you can tell the future of what Donald Trump would have done in that situation. Well, he's not president. We know what he did do. We know that he withdrew troops. We know that he did secretly negotiate with terrorists. We know that he restored their power, gave them legitimacy in the Taliban. Let me finish.
Yes.
And we also know that both presidents have mishandled this. The issue that, like I said before, it's just hypocrisy when you all promote an ideology contrary to truth. Now remember, remember, how did we get in Afghanistan in the first place? Donald Trump and others, people that are part of your political persuasion, they said that we should not have been in Afghanistan. But Republicans, the neoconservatives, George W. Bush, Donald Rumsfeld and others, they said we're going to Afghanistan, and they did so without a plan. We left Afghanistan the way we went in. Without a plan, we never should have been at war with the country. When you talk about going to war with terrorism, understand what that means. You, I read your background, you have some history here. You're a psychiatrist. You don't go to war with the country.
And the terrorists, yes, and the terrorist therapist.
Okay, so you call the terrorist therapist. But I got to say this.
Books about terrorism, a podcast ongoing about terrorism.
Uh-huh.
So yes, I'm kind of an expert. So go ahead.
Right. Oh, okay. All right. So you like that name, terrorist therapist?
Yeah.
Terrorist therapist.
That's right.
All right. I'll let you have that.
Okay.
So let me go back to my point. Okay. You know this as a medical doctor who has studied the art of psychiatry. You know this. Terrorism is not a country. You don't go to war with terrorism like you go to war in traditional military combat. But that's what Donald Rumsfeld and the neoconservatives decided to do, and they had no plan. Terrorism is a social process, right? As evil as it is, terrorism is a social process. And that social process requires three things. It requires motivation, ideology, and radicalization. That's what it requires. You know this as a psychiatrist.
Yes.
So when we said we're going to war with terrorism, we never actually went to war with terrorism, because terrorism is a social process, and it was derived from policy of the United States.
Wait.
That was the why of the social process.
Wait a minute. First of all, the reason we went into Afghanistan, yes, terrorism, there are terrorists in lots of countries. Iran, you know, of course, the biggest purveyor of television of terrorism. And now, of course, Afghanistan is going to be a hotbed of terrorism, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and so on. But we went into Afghanistan because they didn't want to give up Osama bin Laden, who created 9/11. But, you know, getting back to Trump, he destroyed essentially the caliphate, and he did take out troops, but he did it in a way so that nothing happened. You know, the caliphate didn't, I mean, of course, now with Afghanistan being a travesty, certainly terrorists of all types will increase. But Trump took out the caliphate in a way that didn't have this kind of tragic end.
Let me highlight something for you to consider, because I do believe you're thoughtful about the psychological arts. When we talk about terrorism and invading a country and going to war in military combat style, remember, even Mitt Romney, another Republican, said, you can't kill your way out of terrorism because it's such a mental process, right? The why was important for America to analyze, and I don't think America ever analyzed the why.
Yes.
What happened on 9/11 was evil. It was murder. Those were innocent individuals. Those were our family members and friends. They never should have died. So I understand the knee-jerk reaction, the sentiment. But that knee-jerk reaction also expanded our government and our governmental powers, where we lost a lot of our personal freedoms, privacy privileges, etc., because of government expansion. Well, they utilized the concept of homeland security and everything that falls under that because of 9/11. It was for the sake of protection. So you got some things out of that that you probably do not agree with. But go back to the why. The why started because of policy of America. That policy of America really started to permeate in 1971 with Afghan fighters and what we said we would do for them once they defeated the Soviets on our behalf. Well, we did that. We helped them, provided weapons, provided training. And then, according to the narrative of those Afghan fighters, we left them high and dry. We did not pursue the promise that we made. Well, there was a young guy who was really pissed off about this, named Osama bin Laden. And that's when he called America the great evil. Okay? It doesn't justify his activity. What I'm telling you is that without an analytical framework for American policy and how it affects the social process of other nations, we would never get to the root of the war on terrorism.
Well, I agree that a lot of people who are making decisions, wrong decisions, do not have a good enough understanding of the mind of a terrorist or what this is all about. And think that we can just win the war on terror with more guns or bigger guns or better weapons. And we are going to see the fallout of what just happened. You know, first of all, not all of the Afghans who were rescued are friends. You know, the idea was to rescue the ones who were interpreters and so on, the right. People who helped Americans. But you know that amongst those, I mean, it's already been shown for a number of them that they do not have good intentions. And then there are lots of others who, I mean, they didn't really vet these people, and so there are a lot of them who do have terrorist tendencies, you know, do want to bring Sharia, basically. It's about bringing Sharia to the United States and taking over the United States. And so we have brought in a lot of enemies, not to mention the ones that came in from the southern border.
Okay. You know, we talk about Afghanistan as if, you know, Afghans are the one, or those in Afghanistan or Afghan fighters attacked us. That's simply not true.
Right.
Also, Iraqis, those in Iraq, they didn't attack us either. We utilized 9/11 as a pretext to create the context for war with brown countries. That's what we did. And go ahead. I want you to respond to that.
I don't think that. I mean, I'm a born and bred New Yorker.
Okay.
And 9/11, even though at that point I was living in America, I'm living in America, living in California, and my daughter was going to school in New York, and my heart is still in New York. And that is why I became the terrorist therapist. And I remember in my heart, in my stomach, in every part of me, in my soul, I remember what that felt like. And certainly one can understand why we went into Afghanistan at that time, why there was that big rush to try to find Osama bin Laden, to punish Osama bin Laden. It wasn't to hurt the Afghan people, but you know, it's It's so sad to say that, you know, right after 9/11, there was more patriotism in this country than ever before and more unity than ever before. And I would love to go back to those times when we could be a united country, not necessarily, why would we have wanted, we weren't really looking to start fights. They hit us first. That was the biggest, that was an attack on American soil. The biggest one, I mean, yes, Pearl Harbor and so on, but this was, Pearl Harbor doesn't compare to 9/11. So yes, we were enraged. We wanted to protect America. We didn't know what was coming next. And so, yes, we went over there, but you know, we didn't want to lose all the troops that died, for example. Well, it wasn't really to do anything more than to protect America.
But ma'am, you have to admit that American policy has been misguided at best, and in some ways corrupt and evil. And the propaganda machines that are antithetical to America, they utilize the misguided American policy in order to recruit more individuals on their side. This happens on a routine basis. And you don't have to go just to 1971 or 1979 or even our occupation in 2001 in Afghanistan. You can go to the Vietnam War. Hell, technically, we are still at war with Vietnam. We are just simply in a ceasefire. You know how many American soldiers died? 60,000. You know how many Vietnamese we killed? 3.3 million. And did we win? No. So we have had this as a dynamic of American policy for decades, and we are supposed to be the most powerful country in the world. Well, military might does not defeat mindset. And if mindset is created because of the adversarial policies of America, it does America good to analyze the policies that created the conflict that led to the terrorist attack in the first place.
But with Vietnam and with the World War I and World War II, we were trying to protect at that point other countries. So we didn't have any.
Did we do a good job at that?
Did we do a good job at that?
Was it mission accomplished, madam? Like George W. Bush said.
We did in World War I and World War II. We weren't so great in Vietnam, but it wasn't with any malignant intentions. We were trying to protect them.
Yeah, but we have to learn at some point. You say there was no malignant intention, and I understand what you mean. You're saying that, you know, they didn't intend to get it wrong. But here's the thing, if you don't learn from your mistakes, yes, you do. If we're continuing the same misguided policies, creating and recreating the same social atmosphere in these various nations to where other nations that are developing countries do not want our involvement anymore because of how jacked up our policy could be, how schizophrenic our policy could be, then we have to analyze our policies. Yes?
Well, I don't know that it's our policies so much. I mean, we went into these places because we were trying to protect them. And we did, well, other than Vietnam, we have been doing a pretty good job, and other than obviously Afghanistan. But you know, I mean, that is one of the ramifications of the travesty in Afghanistan.
Do you think we should have been in Afghanistan in the first place as an occupation? I understand, you know, President Obama, you know, searching for terrorists just like George W. Bush search for terrorists. I get that, but should we have been in this endless war that was created by George W. Bush?
Well, the thing is, of course, you know, when we went in, nobody really knew that it was going to be an endless war. We didn't expect it.
They didn't have an agenda. What was their agenda?
Well, the agenda was to root out Osama bin Laden and his friends.
Ma'am. You go to war with a country to root out a person. I want you to think about this because—
And to protect the Afghans.
I got you, but think about this. I want you to think about something, okay? First of all, Afghanistan has never been united. Never, never been united. It won't be united after this. Right. This is the reality of Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. Think about it this way. Let's say some terrorists were in America, because we got a bunch of them. Look at the 9/11. Not 9/11, the January 6th terrorists, okay? That attacked the US Capitol. They were terrorists. They committed criminality and violence in order to pursue a political end, a political goal. That's terrorism.
I didn't agree with that on that.
I understand, you're wrong, I'm right.
I just want to point out one thing. You know, Bush on this 9/11, I mean, just this weekend, talked about, and not only Bush, some other people, talked about how didn't want to call terrorists terrorists. And in fact, in Virginia, the school district, the Board of Education in Virginia made a video telling teachers how to teach about 9/11. And they said, don't say that these are terrorists. Call them extremists. Otherwise it's Islamophobia. And Bush said the similar thing. Bush said extremists. Virginia said a similar thing. Don't say terrorists.
Well, ma'am, in all due respect, doctor, that's the same thing you're doing as it relates to the January 6th terrorist.
I'm saying they're not terrorists.
I know, you don't want to use the terminology. They are terrorists.
I know, we went through this the last time.
Yeah, but you know I'm telling the truth.
Well, that we have two different ways of looking at it. But like, I don't think that it's fair. You know, the thing that really bothers me is, we can argue about that and so on, but the thing that really bothers me is to use now, I mean, what's happened most recently, what I just was talking about, to use 9/11 to essentially besmirch the 9/11, I mean, to tell lies basically about 9/11 in order to get the political aim of calling the January 6th people extremists or terrorists. And I'm not saying it's just you, that's what's been happening.
But that's the truth. The truth is, without the comparison of 9/11, you don't have to compare them to 9/11 because carnage wise, you cannot compare. Way more carnage under 9/11 than what happened on January 6th. But the statutory definition of terrorism or terrorist, it fits exactly what those men and women did on January 6th.
But they were not, except for the fact that they were not trying to destroy this country. Terrorists, real radical Islamist terrorists, are looking to destroy America.
Let me ask you this question before we part. You say they were not trying to destroy this country.
Right.
They literally attacked the United States Capitol. They literally said, which we have on recording, that they were actively looking to hang Mike Pence, the Vice President of the United States. They were seeking out people like Nancy Pelosi to kill them, according to the record, to hold some of them up for mock trial. They did not respect the authority of Capitol Police. They overtook the US Capitol, madam, and they wanted to stop the process of the Electoral College being certified, which is a constitutionally mandated process. How is it that individuals who attack the Capitol, attack the constitutional process, attack members of the House of Representatives, or at least wanted to, and said they were looking for the Vice President of this country to hang him, how were they not attempting to destroy America?
Because whatever they were doing, it was out of their love of this country.
Do you think terrorists that attacked 9/11 were doing it out of love for their belief, for their country, for what they hold valuable?
They were doing it because of a misinterpretation of the Quran to get.
Ma'am, I'm going to ask you one more time. Since you want to give one set of terrorists a pass, will you give the 9/11 terrorists a pass if their heart was in the right place?
No, it's not the same
thing. That's what you're saying about these others.
They wanted to destroy America. They still want.
You're basically making an argument that, hey, their heart was in the right place. You know they committed crime. You know that.
It's a crime, perhaps, but not a terrorist, not to destroy America, the whole country of America. That was not what they were intending to do. They were trying to save America.
Okay, madam, I appreciate you being on Indisputable. Always good having you on the show.
Thank you.